Good morning. Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning? Oh, now, come on. Let me try that again. Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning? Wow. Excellent. Let us pray. Holy, gracious, wonderful, amazing, awesome God, thank you. Thank you for the freedom to come to your house. Thank you for the freedom that you give us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up. And thank you, Lord, that you love us and there's not a thing we can do about it. Right now, Lord, help us to release our to-do list, to set aside all that may distract us from you. And Lord, hide me. Hide me so that I am not seen and that you are glorified. Let my words be your words. Let your cross be lifted up. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your sons and daughters, long to hear your voice. Amen. If you have your Bible or would like to take the pew Bible in front of you, we're going back to the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Today I'm using the New Revised Standard Version, fifth chapter of Mark. And today we're going to pick up with verse 25. Last week, we talked about Jairus and his daughter, and we're going to go back to that same chapter, picking up with where we left off and kind of where we moved around from. Jesus, remember, has been preaching on one side of the lake, and he come across to the other side, and he was met by a young man who was possessed by demons, and he released from bondage that young man. And last week, he went with Jairus and released his daughter from the bondage of death. And so today we pick up, back up with the story, verse 25. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of God for us, the beloved people of God, thanks be to God. You know, sometimes in our life, we are caught in situations through circumstances we don't understand. We're just caught in this place that just is very difficult for us. As hard as we try, things don't seem to get better. And sometimes they just get worse. We're caught in a place where no matter what we do, no matter who we seek help from, no matter where we go, it just doesn't get any better. You've been there? I know I have. Everywhere we turn, everything we try, it just doesn't help the situation. And we begin to question everything we hold dear. it seems like the world is stacked against us. It seems as though we've done something wrong, as though we're being punished, as though it will never get better. And we try to remain hopeful, we try to remain joyful, and it just doesn't work. You with me on that? I've been there. And you think, why me? Why does this happen to me? Can you imagine what this woman felt like? For 12 years, she has been plagued with this disease. I have read this story all my life, and something finally got through this. I'm not the brightest bulb in the batch, okay? I'm sorry for y'all, but that's what you got. And it finally dawned on me, this little phrase. She spent all that she had, which means that she had money. Now, that doesn't seem odd to us now, but in first century Palestine, that is huge, because women did not have property back then. They were thought of as property. This means this woman was wealthy. This means this woman was unique in her time, that she had property. Now, she wasn't so unique that they recorded her name in Scripture, which was extremely rare. But she had to be a unique woman to have had property in first century Palestine, which means she had to be among the rarest of women to have had property. And yet she had to give up that security that would have insulated her from being alone. She had to give it up. It was taken from her because of her disease. Though her name is not recorded, she was given a social name: unclean, uninvited. Because of her disease, she was isolated. She could not go out in public. She could not be touched because she was ritually impure. And anything that she touched was unclean. Anybody that came near her or in contact with her was unclean. They could not go to the synagogue or the meeting place without going through ritual purity. Look it up in Leviticus, which means she was not visited by her family or her friends. They would not come in contact with items that she had touched, because then they themselves would be unclean. That's foreign to us who go and visit and send cards and make phone calls. You got to understand, not only was she sick, but she was isolated, ignored, and outcast. What courage she had that day to go out of her house. She took a tremendous risk, for she could have been put to death for coming in contact. What courage she had to go seek her well-being. Unlike the little girl who had a daddy to go on her behalf, this woman had no one to seek help on her behalf. She had been abandoned by everybody. Courage is her name. I was driving down Church Street this week, making a hospital visit, and there was a marquee on this building that was advertising a martial arts studio, and it said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, it is the management of fear." Did you get that? Courage is not the absence of fear, it is the management of fear. This woman had fear, true fear, but she managed her fear to leave her house to go seek the one that she knew could help her. In spite of 12 years of pain, of isolation and degradation, she got up one more time and went to the one that she knew. It says right here, she heard about Jesus and said, if I but touch his clothes, it didn't say, I think I will be made well. It says, I will be made well. She knew that she would be made well. So she comes up behind him. I guess no one noticed her. She had been unnoticed for so long. And she touches just the back hem of his garment. And immediately she's made well. And immediately Jesus knows something happened. And then he says, who touched me in this crowd? And his disciples, poor, poor disciples, who still don't get it. And I, for one, is one of those who probably stand in the crowd saying, what are you talking about, man? There's people all around you. You know, I don't know where you put yourself in the story, but I'm the one saying, look, Jesus. And he says, no, you don't understand. This was a different kind of touch. This woman touched me, or this person touched me, and something left me. And he turns around, and he's scanning the crowd, and again, here's her courage. She falls on her knees and says, it's me, Lord. It's me. And you made me well. And he gives her a name. Remember, she has no name. And he calls her daughter. With that touch, he claims her back into the community. He brings her from isolation back into the community. And says, daughter, you're no longer an outcast. You're no longer forgotten. You're no longer isolated. You are brought back into the community, into the kingdom of God. Your faith has made you well. That one touch is all it took. Research has told us that babies must be touched within the first few hours of life, or they suffer greatly. Is there not anything better when you are young and you have a boo-boo than your mama's touch? Even now, at the ripe old age of 56, I love it when my mother rubs my hand. And when she's not well, what do I do? I hold her hand. Is there something about being touched? Right. When I was teaching and I wanted the students to quit being heathens and seventh graders, I would just walk behind them and put my hands on them, sometimes gently, sometimes with a little more pressure, but touch. There's something about being touched that is so miraculous, is it not? Yet, what has broken my heart these last few weeks, is the lack of touch we as Christians have been doing. Instead of reaching our hands out to each other, we've been putting our hands like this in hate, or like this in accusation. Instead of reaching out our hands to someone of a different color, we've been closing our hands or picking up weapons. Instead of grabbing hands together and saying, let's talk about our differences in a 5-4 world. We've been putting our hands up in hate and calling each other names in the name of Christ. Instead of reaching out our hands and saying, sisters and brothers, let's sit down and let's talk in polite and respectful, dignified ways, we've been using social media to call each other vitreous names. Instead of reaching out our hands and saying, let's come to this table that was bought with a precious price, we have been excluding. I really don't think Jesus came and died so that the church can be the place where hate is spewed forth. I believe we have broken God's heart over the last few weeks. We Christians, we who claim to follow Christ, because we have refused to touch each other with love. We are all sinners, amen? None of us are without fault. None of us have walked on water this morning. So instead of being divisive, we need to show the world how we can remain in love, though different in our perspectives and opinions. We need to show how we can talk and yet disagree. And as a church, how we can remain a family and yet still love, though we disagree. We need to reach out with open hands because there are nail-scarred hands that are reaching out to us in love, not in hate. Amen. If you will, take your bulletin. As we move to our offertory prayer, let us say together the words printed in the bulletin. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who has said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Our offertory hymn is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, page 349 in our hymnal. Those who come, ushers come to receive our offering.